Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast with Brendan Lowe, episode number 17.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 18. I am your host, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you listening. And in this episode, finally, I am getting to how to actually play jazz standards, right? So we spent 16 or so episodes with a couple stragglers in there about some masterclasses and things like that, explaining fundamentals on jazz piano and piano in general, just playing tunes. And I've been trying to build a very solid foundation for all you listeners out there. So if you've listened from one up until now, you should have a very strong foundation about harmony, some theory concepts, and how to maneuver around on the piano with voices, because that's ultimately what you're going to need in order to play tunes. Everything else is fluff, is what I like to call it, right? It's just fancy, schmancy, ornamental stuff. But if you're just looking to play tunes, right, and again, this is all just foundational, laying of the bricks, laying of the foundation to build the house, all you need is the harmonies that I've described in podcast one through now, you know, minus the special ones that I've thrown in there. So in this episode, I'm going to tell you how to actually play a piece, how to play a jazz standard, how to open up to a book and play a jazz standard. And it's very easy. Like, I don't know how I'm going to elongate this podcast because it honestly is that easy. But I'm sure I'll find a way to just keep talking. But so just like I was explaining how to play pop charts, I'm going to do the same thing for jazz standards. And so before I begin, I just want to let you know that we're associated with the website jazzpianoschool.com, and you can get free membership there to access free videos in which I explain all the concepts I've previously talked about in the podcast, plus more. There's a lot more free videos on there to watch and learn, and it's just a great educational website. There's a transcription section in the free membership. There's notated music section and the videos, and obviously the blog articles are completely free, and you can get access to the show notes of all the podcasts there as well. So let's get into playing a standard. For this episode, I've selected the jazz standard, The Days of Wine and Roses. And this was written by Henry Mancini, and it's a really great jazz standard. A lot of people play it. And so what I want to do is just kind of walk through what you can do to play the piece, not what I can do. I don't want to show you any fancy tricks, because I want you to be able to sit down at any piano with any book and open up to a jazz standard and just start playing it, right? With no questions asked, oh, how do I do this? How do I do that? Just start playing it, okay? So we can definitely get into how to spice things up later on in the podcast, which I will. I'm planning on having hundreds and hundreds of episodes, so don't worry. We're going to get into a lot of fancy ornamental things to make your playing sound great. But right now, I'm just taking the bare essentials of how to play a piece. So, excuse me, I'm a little stuffed up from coming back from China. Sacramento is really tree dense. There's a lot of density of trees. I didn't say that correctly. But it's very windy today, so the pollen's flying everywhere. I'm very stuffed up, so I apologize. But the first thing we want to do when playing a piece is obviously we need to be able to play the melody. Okay, so it requires a little bit of sight reading and a little bit of knowledge of reading notes. Now, if you don't know how to read notes, you can just play the harmonies. But in order to get to a next level, in order to take your playing to the next level, you want to be able to eventually play melodies, because the melodies are what people know. You know, the audiences and people that you go places, people that you see and places that you go to and will play, everyone will know the melodies. They won't really know the harmonies. So they won't really be able to pick out the piece unless you're playing the melody. So it's really nice to be able to play the melody along with the chords. And I've taught you guys how to play chords and whatnot, but right now we're going to be talking about melodies a little bit more. So our right hand is going to play the melodies probably 99% of the time. Our right hand is going to play the melodies. Now, our left hand is going to play the chords. All right? So our left hand is going to play chords. Our right hand is going to play melody. And that's it. I don't have anything more to say. That's it. That's the end of the episode. No, I'm just kidding. But honestly, that's how you play jazz standards. Your left hand will play the chords, and your right hand will play the melody. So when I'm going to play a piece, what I recommend to you is to start learning the melody first. So if I was going to play The Days of Wine and Roses, I just take the melody. Right, here's the melody, very simple. Sorry, my phone was ringing. Right, so I'm still playing with the melody. And I just go through the entire piece playing the melody. Very simple melodies. A lot of the jazz standards have very catchy, simple melodies that are just quarter notes, eighth notes, half notes. You know, really, there's not many complex rhythms because they're meant for lyrics. A lot of the jazz standards were written for lyrics, and eventually I'd recommend learning lyrics. I personally need to do more of that, is learn lyrics to pieces. I know a lot of melodies, but I don't know as many lyrics to pieces as I should, because that's the true essence of the piece. You know, it gives you the phrasing of how you should phrase the melody and whatnot. We'll get into that later. But anyway, that's the melody in the right hand. Now, the next thing you want to do is separate the right hand from the left hand. So you want to just play your left hand chords. Now, I talked about the seventh chords that you're going to need in the previous episode. I went over three. Now, there's only one chord in this entire piece that I didn't go over in the last episode. And that chord is a minor 7 flat 5 chord. Now, if you don't know that chord, don't worry about it. You can just make it a minor 7th chord, okay? So don't worry about the flat 5, all right? And let me give you some general guidelines about chords in pieces. You're going to see a lot of numbers, okay? Don't worry about the numbers at all just yet. We'll get into what those numbers mean. So anytime you see numbers after the chord symbol, just don't worry about it. So you might see D7 flat 9. All that means is you need to play a D7 chord. Or you might see E minor 7 flat 5 or A7 flat 9. All those flat 9s and flat 5s, don't worry about that. Sharp 11, flat 13s. Just play the chord symbol that you recognize, right? The other thing is sometimes there are 6 chords, and I didn't talk about that in the previous 7th chord episode either. The 6th chords are simply exactly what they say. Instead of adding a major 7 onto the top of the triad, we're going to add a 6 on top of the triad. So we have our triad, our major triad, 1, 3, 5. Instead of adding a 7 on top, a major 7, we're going to add a 6. We're going to add the 6th degree of the scale. Right? So there's our F6 chord. Okay? So if you see a major 7, you'll play your major 7 on top. If you see a 6, you'll play your 6 on top. And I know it's easier said than done, but if you want to, because if you've practiced just the major 7s, your minor 7s, and your dominant 7s, you can still play a major 7 in place of the 6. So if you see an F6 anywhere or C6, you can simply play a C major 7 or an F major 7 there. So don't even worry about that. So you still only need 3 chords, your major 7s, your minor 7s, and your dominant 7s. And once you learn all those in all the keys, right, and you can kind of find them pretty quickly in your left hand, then you'll be able to play jazz standards. And it just takes a little bit of practice, right? Practice with your 7th chords and learning the 7th chords. But once you've gotten that, seriously, it could take probably a couple days. Then you can start to play jazz standards. That's all you need, is just the 7th chords. Everything else I've done before that was kind of working you up to playing 7th chords. But ultimately, to play jazz, all you need is 7th chords. You don't need the triads. You don't need the voice leading of triads. I just added that in there for people who are interested in playing more pop, toony type of stuff. Okay, for specific jazz standards like I'm talking about today, you just need 7th chords. You're going to see all 7th chords in jazz standards. Okay? It'll make you a better player knowing your triads and inversions. But for today in jazz standards, you just need 7th chords. So here we go. Here are my 7th chords for The Days of Wine and Roses in my left hand. Okay, so those are the first three measures. I had my F major 7, E flat 7, D 7. Now my next chord is a G minor 7. Okay, now my next chord is B flat minor. Now anytime you just see like a B flat minor is all I see here, you can add, you can just assume this is a 7th chord. So B flat minor 7 to E flat 7, A minor 7, D minor 7, G minor 7, C 7. Now here's an E minor 7 flat 5 chord. Okay, we haven't talked about those yet. But again, just make, don't worry about the numbers. Just make that an E minor 7 to A 7, D minor, G 7, G minor, C 7. Okay, now a couple of things is which way do we move our hands, right? Do we want to play our chords up here? That's too high, okay? The harmonies want to support the melody. So usually our harmonies are going to be underneath the melody, but if I play them down here, right, it's too muddy, it's too low. So there's special sections on the piano that you want to focus your left hand harmonies in. And now those sections usually range, okay, from the second F up from the piano. So here's my first F on the very low end of the piano. Here's my second F. Now from here up to middle C is the general guideline I give for playing your left hand chords. Anywhere in between these two notes, F, second F, F2, and middle C, C4, right? So F2 and C4. And now if you need to go lower, you can. If you need to go higher, you can. But it's just not going to sound as good. And now the how do you know? How do you know where to place your chord? Well, first of all, you want to pick a range within that range I just gave you. But second of all, you want to pay attention to the melody. Now if the melody is on C, middle C, and I have an A minor 7 chord, I can't start my A minor 7 chord a third below middle C because the chord is going to overlap the melody. So that's not going to work. So I know I need to play my A minor 7 chord down an octave. Okay, does that make sense? So if the melody is, you want to pay attention to what register the melody is. And wherever the melody is, then you're going to choose the voicing closest to the melody that doesn't overlap. So you find the chord below the melody that's not overlapping but is still within the range that I just gave you. And again, sometimes because the melody gets low, you'll need to place the chord outside the range, but that's just a general guideline. So here we go. I'm going to put my two hands together now. Okay, I'm going to play the melody and the chords. So let's take a listen to what that sounds like with the rules I just gave you. So that's the first 16 bars I just played for you. Now it's pretty stiff, you know, and the way to loosen it up is with some rhythms, okay? And the way you're going to do that is focus on your left hand. Now when you see one chord, just like in your pop tunes, when you see one chord in the measure, normally you're going to hold that down for a whole note, so for four counts. So if you have an F major 7 and there's only one chord within that measure, you can hold it down for four counts. One, two, three, four, and move to the next one. Now, playing it that way, excuse me, isn't going to sound like jazz because you're not really swinging the rhythms at all. So if you want to swing the rhythms, you need to make your left hand changes a little short. Okay, now listen to what that sounds like. Okay, you see the difference in the change? Now I'll play the stiff way again. Here's the stiff way. Right, it just feels really boxy. Okay, now the only thing you're going to do to change the stiffness is just play your left hand short on beat one. So instead of holding it down, one, two, three, you're just going to make it short. Ba, ba, ba. That's it. That's it. Okay, and that's all you need to do. Now, the next thing you can do with these jazz standards to make it kind of swing and feel a little bit looser, you know, a little loosey-goosey, a little more comfortable, a little jazzy, right, is you can play around with the melody. It doesn't need to be, you know, as stiff as the quarter notes. You can add certain notes in. You can kind of change certain. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily recommend changing notes, but the durations of the notes, you can make them shorter or longer, and that's what I try and focus on the most. Now, I just released the podcast How to Swing, right? And so what I was talking about was the rhythms of jazz, right? So you want to feel that triplet feel. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, 3, 1, da, 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 da. Right? So that's your eighth note swing. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3. And you want that going on internally while you're playing it, just to give it that kind of that swanky, loosey kind of feeling, you know, the swing feel, right? So if I kind of loosen the melody up, it'll sound like this. So again, what I'm doing there is I'm doubling some notes, meaning I'm repeating some notes. So like for the first melody line, the original melody is this. So I might play this, like double the note, right? And again, it doesn't necessarily fit with the lyrics because that's not what the melody's saying. But in order to kind of swing it a little harder, you can do that sometimes and just take liberties with the melody. Now, a true testament to whether you know the melody or not is whether you can swing it without adding or retracting anything, right? If you're just sticking to the original melody and you're swinging that, because that's really difficult to do. So I'd challenge you to do that. But at first, you can start to kind of play around with it, you know? Just get that feeling going, that 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and see if you can kind of just swing the melody by itself without the chords. Here we go. I'll try and demonstrate that. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Okay, so I'm adding some little ornaments in there. But again, you kind of get the picture, right, of the feeling you want to create. So you're always thinking 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, right? Triplet, 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 right? So that feeling, dot, 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 that's your swing feel. And again, if you're combining your left hand and right hand, stick to the basics at first because that's going to be the easiest. Just keep it really square, like play exactly what's written. Now, after you've learned the piece a lot, I'd say after you've played it 100 times or so, you've memorized it, then start to take some liberties on the melody. Start to open up the melody a little bit. You can kind of make some things short. You can add some notes. You can make your left hand short. You can make your left hand longer a little bit too. All right? And in this way, it's going to start to loosen up the piece. Now, there's other ways to practice the piece that I'm going to give you some recommendations to help you learn pieces. And also, it's going to give you a different texture. And one of those is adding bass notes. Okay? And we'll get into bass notes further along in the podcast, but learning the harmonies and learning the structural components of the piece is really important. By playing the bass notes, those are the true stones, right, to the harmonies. The bass notes are the roots. They're the roots of the tree. The tree is the harmony. So when I play my chord up here, my root is down here, right? Now, if I know my roots, I know how the piece is moving. I know its movements. I know where it's going. You know, I know where it's been. So I know the piece better. I know the inner workings of it. If I don't really know the roots, then I'm not really learning the piece. And we don't want to leave out any components. We want to learn every component. We want to learn the melody. We want to learn the bass notes, the roots. We want to learn the harmonies. We want to learn combined components, right? We want to learn our melody with our roots. We want to learn our melody with our harmonies. We want to learn our melody with both our roots and our harmonies. So here's a nice little tip to practice that you can do to really improve your learning and internalization of a piece. Is just play your roots, going through the piece first. And that way you'll really get the true structure of the piece. So I'm just going to play bass notes. And I'm just going to count to myself. I'd usually have a metronome on. I should have a metronome on. But your metronome will be ticking away. And you're just playing the roots, you know, as the bars go by. So for the first four bars, I have F major 7, E flat 7, D 7. So I'm going to play as F, E flat after four beats, 3, 4, D 7, 2, 3, 4, D 7, 2, 3, 4, G, all right, G, sorry, B flat, E flat, okay, A, so again, I'm just playing all the roots. It's very simple, right? And once you can go through the roots, I'd say on a quicker speed, like right here, like a very high speed. So here, if I'm tapping, if I'm counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. So that was the first A section. So when you can do that fluidly without even thinking about it and you have it memorized, then you really know the roots, right? The next thing you want to do is add the melody with the roots, okay? So now this is a very pure structure. You have the melody, which is the top portion, the you know, the component that's going to sing out, and then you have the really low bass note root section, the component, right? That's really holding everything up. And that together is a really good component to practice at the same time. So here we go. Stutter in there, but so melody and bass notes, okay, and that's how you're really getting into the piece. Now the next thing I'd want you guys to do to switch it up is practice your right hand chords, because you're going to need those to comp eventually. You want to know your seventh chords in both hands, but as I was saying before, in order to just play pieces, you could play the melody with your right hand and chords with your left hand. Now you can get away with that, but in order to take it further, you want to learn your chords in both hands. So I'm going to play my right hand chords with my roots, and that's going to give me the pure harmonic structure. Okay, without the melody, I'm hearing the full harmonies of what's going under the melody. So let's check that out. See, now everyone makes mistakes. I make mistakes too. So you can really begin to hear the harmonies of everything going on there, okay? And we already did the first step, right? Melody and harmonies. We did melody and bass notes. Now we want to start to, this is down the road, guys. Like, you want to practice each one of these steps. I'm flying through these, but you want to practice each one of these steps very intensely, right? So you know it like the back of your hand, just like driving to work, the path you take. You're not even thinking about it. You can multitask four different things and still do it, right? And have it be perfect. So that's how ingrained you want each of these pieces to be. Now, when you hear more solo type of concepts, what the solo pianists are doing, or if I have a solo piano gig, what I'm doing is... is I'm taking into account that I need to cover the bass and the harmonies and the melody all at the same time. So I'm combining my left hand with the bass notes and the harmonies while my right hand plays the melody. So let's check that out. I'll give you an example of that. Okay, so that was kind of a combination. I know it sounds kind of like honky-tonky, but I'm just trying to give you bare essentials of what combining the bass notes with the harmonies, which sounds like, because eventually that's what you work up to. You work up to covering the harmonies with your left hand and the bass notes, right? And there's different techniques to make it easier. It doesn't have to be all jumping around, and we'll get into that. But that's kind of how you hear solo piano. When you hear solo piano and playing chords, right? So I'm kind of playing harmonies with the melody and the bass note. But I'm jumping around. I'm using certain techniques for my right hand to help out my left hand to cover the harmonies with the bass notes while playing the melody at the same time. But I just want to give you an overview of what that sounds like. But again, getting back to just playing jazz standards, again, all you need is your right hand melody and your left hand chords. So hopefully this has helped a little bit dive into this. And again, we're going to take it apart. And from here, we're going to move into more theory concepts and more improvising kind of stuff, more technical things, you know, how to start improving your technique and just a whole slew of stuff. If you haven't checked out the website, please do so. And again, guys, if you could leave a 5-star review on the podcast, I'd really, really appreciate it. Again, all of us podcasters, you hear all of us say it, and we sound like a broken record, but we just want them so much. We enjoy it. It's like a special gift. Remember when you had AOL and you used to go check your AOL and it'd be like, you've got mail. You'd get so excited. You'd be like, yes, I've got mail. You know, so, but when I wake up and I see like I've got an extra review, a 5-star, not even a review, guys, sorry, just a rating. You can literally just click the 5 stars and leave a rating. You don't need to type anything, just click the 5 stars. But I wake up in the morning and I see that maybe it's increased from 40 to 41 or 41 to 42, and it just makes my day that much more special. So I really appreciate everyone who's been doing that. If you've just done it or in the past couple days and you're listening to this, thank you. I'm talking directly to you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And it only takes a second, and it makes me feel so great. And it helps other people at the same time find the podcast, because eventually, with more ratings, the podcast will start to move up into third, second, and first place, hopefully, when you search Jazz Piano. So that's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Until next time, happy practicing.